Welcome to Enlightened Evolution.
I'm Kay.
And I'm Christina.
We're here to discuss the ebb and flow of our soul's healing and transformation through self-reflection, choosing intentionally, honoring thyself, and following your inner guide.
Thank you for joining this safe space with us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Enlightened Evolution with Kay and Christina. We hope that we find you well today here on this Monday morning. We're here to discuss how addictions affect our relationships when we're codependent with substances. I think the first thing that we need to admit is that we all have our vices, something we're addicted to, and the spectrum that they fall on, whether that be drinking alcohol, eating, working out too much, smoking, cigarettes, but like marijuana, whether it's sex, porn, shopping, or something more serious like prescription drugs or buying illicit drugs off the street. So being in relationships when we're addicted to something, I think that they hardly ever work out. And statistically, they probably hardly ever work out, or they're very toxic for as long as they do last. And you know, the way that they start, and not always, but sometimes, you know, what do? Hey, you just meet somebody. Hey, you want to go have a drink with me sometime? So I think a lot of times we build relationships off alcohol a lot of the times. You know, it eases us up. It makes us feel more comfortable. And it's just a way to kind of break the ice with people. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily always a bad thing, but it is something that the substance that is used to make us feel better while we're building that relationship. In the past, I would bond with partners personally over alcohol. You know, it would start by, hey, let's go out and have a drink. What else are we going to do? Or if you're a broke college kid or something and you just need to go and, you know, have a couple drinks and get to know each other. And it, you know, when you start using it in intimate moments, it enhances experiences, and then you start to use it as a relationship goes on to cope with emotional disturbances. And I think a lot of times it makes us inconsistent emotionally. And not to get too deep into the scientific breakdown of what drugs and alcohol do to us, or the effect that they have on our brain and our body, but simply put, they release the surge of dopamine while after ingested. They make you feel the calm, comfortable, happy, sometimes euphoric. And then when we tend to reach the peak of that and our dopamine can no longer release anymore, we start to crash. And when we start to crash, we start to feel the depression, the anxiety, irritability much easier. When we get in deeper into any relationship, whether that's sober or not sober, on substances or not, we're going to start to trigger each other's unhealed wounds, unpacking our own trauma, and the effects the substances have on us intensifies our emotions based on the peak or the withdrawal that that substance is creating in our body during that time. And it's like I just mentioned, it's extremely difficult to stay consistently regulated emotionally while handling conflict and trying to communicate effectively while battling substance abuse with a partner. I've experienced this in relationships personally, and it would be very high highs and very low lows, definitely an emotional roller coaster from myself and the other party. Is there anything you've experienced like this, or you'd like to add so far, my dear? How are you doing today? I didn't even ask you how you were today. Just jumped right into that intense bullshit. Sorry.
We're diving deep today. I'm good. And I've been in relationships with people that have addictions. And I definitely have started relationships with substances, like you mentioned, like, let's go get a drink, let's smoke, those mm-hmm. types of things, to where I really feel like it clouded my judgment of that person. And had yes. I been fully sober, I may have had a different idea of who that person was.
Yeah.
What's your experience been in this?
Definitely the same. And also, it's like, is that the only thing that we have in common?
Right.
Is just going out to be able to, I mean, if you are a drinking buddy, let's just be a drinking buddy. You know, what? Why do we need to go dive headfirst into a committed relationship? And so, and also like, and like I said, may not even be a bad thing. You're not an alcoholic. You know, they're not an alcoholic. Go out and share a couple drinks together. I'm not judging that. I'm not saying that this is black or white or, you know, anything like that. But I do think that if you develop that pattern early on in a relationship where you're using substances together to enhance your relationship or to feel comfortable with somebody, if you can't feel comfortable with somebody without being intoxicated, I think that's something that you need to reflect on. And I wish I would have been better at doing that in the past.
Same.
Yeah. I think that when I'm with somebody, I feel like moments that I have been in relationships where we're, you know, drinking together like every day, even if it's like a couple drinks or smoking marijuana, it's like I would go through these phases like, I would have such an affinity for this person. I would feel so in love. And then I would have moments where I didn't really feel in love at all. And then I would, the same thing with them. I would feel like some days they would just love me so much. And other days it's like, I'm paranoid that they don't love me anymore. And I feel like when we would come back together and have a couple drinks together, you know, smoke a joint together or something, then we feel okay again and we feel good again. And if you do enjoy drinking and smoking with your partner and you don't have these, you know, toxic effects from these substances, like then that's great. But if you feel like you have to use these substances to cope in a relationship, is that the type of relationship you want to be in? I have often wondered when we become bonded with someone while we're addicted to something, we suffer from substance abuse, are these feelings synthetic that we're developing? Or do we just love them because we're chasing that dopamine from these substances? What do you think? Even with even being in relationships, being like addicted to the sex of it, like you really don't have anything you're compatible about, except you have this like desire and just like animalistic, lustful need for them. And they have that for you. And so like, if you, I don't know, I've definitely experienced that too, like that form of addiction too.
Yes, I have unknowingly. That's the way I've approached a lot of relationships mm-hmm. is hot and heavy, lots of sex at the beginning to try to build a bond, but it's really a false bond. You know, you're trying to get this intimacy from this person. And that was the only way I knew how to build that at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a religious person. I don't think you have to wait till marriage to have sex. I kind of think that that's a bad idea.
Yes.
But I do think it's really important to refrain from substances. I'm not saying like having a glass of wine at dinner, but refrain from those things that are going to cloud your judgment. Sex, substances, during the beginning of that relationship, or use them very sparingly so that you can really be clear on who you're connecting with and if you're actually connecting or if it's clouded by other things.
Absolutely. After a lot of self-reflection, I know I enjoy, you know, drinking. I enjoy smoking, especially sharing these things with people. It's a social thing for sure.
Yeah.
I know that I also know 100% that when I'm with somebody and they have a certain level of substance abuse, that I become like this little chameleon and I will inherit sometimes the substance that they enjoy to do. And it's something that we'll start sharing together. It's never been successful for me whatsoever. I've never had an emotionally safe relationship being with somebody where we shared a substance. I know that, you know, right now I'm choosing to be 100% sober. And I'm not saying that I'll never go back, you know, to Italy again and have a glass of wine. Yeah, I will. I'll probably.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it does. I'll probably do that again. But I'm just being more mindful moving forward. Right now at this time in my life, being sober, you vibrate higher, more vitality. You have increased energy. And I don't ever want to build a relationship again where there's going to be substances and have my judgment clouded. I just won't do that. I think also, do you feel like your intuition is increased when you're sober? I feel like since I've been sober, my intuition is just on point much more.
100%. And I don't know how you would explain it. I've gotten sober as far as alcohol within the last year, not because it was ever an issue for me, but because of going through a spiritual awakening. And basically it just came to the point where it felt like my body was rejecting alcohol. I would have one drink and I would feel horrible. I would be nauseous, have acid reflux, have a horrible headache. And it just came down to the point where I was like, I want to feel good. And so I just stopped drinking. And it is so hard to, especially when you have friends that, you know, encourage it. Or my partner's been great. He's like, if you don't want to drink, don't drink. But for me, it wasn't because there was an addiction. So it wasn't like, oh, I can't be around people that are drinking. But there was this annoyance of even like work get-togethers. Oh, let's go to the winery. Okay, cool. Well, I'll have some water.
Mm-hmm.
The wineries are beautiful, but like, why does community always need to be around substance use? And I would go places and not drink, and everyone else would be drinking, and they would be like, are you pregnant? Why are you not drinking? When I tell you, keep that shit to yourself. Don't ask somebody why they're not using a substance. It's none of your damn business. Right. If I'm pregnant, it's none of your business. If I'm an alcoholic and I'm in recovery, it's none of your business. I just didn't want to drink because I didn't want to feel bad. And I would say that to people and they just could not wrap their brain around it of, what do you mean? Because a lot of people do feel good. And it's not like everyone feels the way I felt. I think it's a combination of my body just aging. And also, like you mentioned, I love the way I feel when I'm sober. I love feeling this connection with my higher self. My intuition is so much higher. And substances, they've never been a thing for me. And I'm very surprised. I've used a few different substances. But when I get that lack of control, I'm addicted to control. That my therapist can tell you. That is my addiction. And so when substances remove that from me, I don't like it. So it's just not been much of a thing for me.
Yeah. Outside of I really only struggle with it while I'm in relationships. And when I end the relationship, I'm like, okay, I can get back to working out again. I can get back to just being sober and having my routine again and feeling great again. And you're right. It is really hard to find the same people with the same mindset that are just like, I don't like to drink because I don't like to drink. Because it really hasn't been difficult or a struggle for me to stop doing it. It's almost a relief.
Yeah.
That's when I came out and saw you in October. It was really nice. That wasn't even like a conversation we had before I came out there of like, let's go have a drink.
I didn't know. Yeah.
No, I didn't know either that you just, stopped doing it. I think we had a couple of conversations. I always knew you weren't like super big drinker from the times that we did hang out. But when I came there and I think we got like these, I don't know, it was like virgin.
Mocktails.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so. Yeah, that was really nice. I'm like, oh, it's so nice to have, like, share a sober moment with somebody and we don't need a substance to just live life and feel good. And
yeah,
so
and there isn't that judgment there of, why aren't you drinking? It almost felt like when I was with my other friends, like, they needed you to drink to feel okay about what they were doing. And I'm 100% not bashing drinking. If you do it in a responsible way, my husband drinks. But you don't need to push it on anybody else.
No, you sure don't. And like I said, I'm sure I will probably have another drink sometime again in my life. But just for right now, it's not something that, it's just something that I'm avoiding right now and just to feel better. What else was I going to say to you? Oh, so I do think that when we're in those relationships, like in the moment, this alcohol is like happy hours fun. It's exciting. It's like instant gratification. And I think that the quality of time that you have is like, it's much more of a quality of time you have waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning with somebody, going for a walk with them, being sober. Like, it's more sustainable. Like, last night must have been, like, I'm sure it was super fun, you know, getting drunk, going dancing. But I think that overall, like, being in a sober relationship is more sustainable. It's more fulfilling. You're more of on an even keel emotionally with people. And what were you going to say?
I was going to say, definitely. I feel like I'm more in control of my own emotions and my responses to things when I'm mm-hmm. not using substances. I think those have always heightened conflict in relationships. And just like it heightens pleasure, it also yeah. can heighten conflict as well.
Yeah.
If someone's in a relationship with someone that is in active addiction, what are some things they could do? Or maybe a self-survey of, does this relationship really resonate with me? It's not always that the relationship needs to end, but I think there definitely needs to be conversation if it's affecting the relationship.
I agree with that. I think that even in my last relationship, this is something that I became very aware of. I didn't want to feel the way that because if I choose to use substances, it's more of like a social fun thing, one-time thing. I'm not, you know, going to do this again for a long time. But when it started to become an everyday thing, it's like, okay, I don't want to stop. I want to stop doing this. Is your partner supportive of it? I would, you know, have that conversation with them. Hey, do you think that maybe we're overindulging a little bit too much? How do you feel about us weaning down on what we're doing? Is that an option for you? How do you feel about that? Do you feel comfortable where you're at? And then you have to ask yourself, well, if this person doesn't stop using their substances, do you have the willpower and the strength to do that on your own, being surrounded by it every day? And most of us don't. You've already built this relationship with this person using these substances. You already know how it's going to go. Every single day they're going to continue to use. Are you just going to, you know, that was how you shared your quality time together. So I think that will probably become an issue unless you're fully supportive of them continuing to use the substance and they're fully supportive of you of not using it anymore. And I think that what people may find in that situation is that, okay, you're putting yourself in a position in a mental mindset set that's like, okay, I want to evolve and grow from where I am right now. And I no longer want to use a substance every single day for whatever reason. And am I going to continue to choose these people in my life that do use these substances? And a lot of the times the answer is no, I'm not going to continue to surround myself by these people because I don't have, I mean, it's natural human behavior to adapt to our surroundings and whether those are positive or negative surroundings. So I think that you have to ask yourself those questions. And if your partner is like, hey, yeah, I agree with you. I want a lifestyle change. Then heck yeah, that's great. Maybe if you're like an everyday drinker after work, you guys share a couple cocktails to dinner. Why don't you just do that on the weekends instead? Start there.
Right. Don't just cold turkey right yeah. away.
Yeah. Yeah. Because cold turkey sometimes works for some people, but doesn't work for other people. Like, you don't have to do that. And of course, if this is like more of a serious situation where it's like heavy, you know, prescription drugs, street drugs, something super heavy like that.
That you can withdraw from.
Yeah, that you can withdraw from. I know that you can die if you withdrawing from alcohol. There's a lot of people I've taken care of that have alcohol withdrawal. You need medical attention for that. Go to the hospital. You need to 100% have, you need to be in a hospital to withdraw from alcohol if you're an everyday. I'm not talking about like two beers a night. I'm talking like a case of beer a night, a fifth a day. If you're an everyday drinker like that, you need to go to the hospital. Because going through withdrawals is very hard. I would talk to a therapist about it, and they can set you up with some resources where you can either, you know, have a day, like day program treatment centers.
Yes. Where
you can get other medications to help you withdraw from more serious drugs. I know there's resources for that. You can always call 211 for any type of resource in the United States for anything. They can set you up with somebody in your area. Because it's hard. Addiction's hard. We're all addicted to something, I think. And so.
Yeah, definitely. I know when you told me we were going to talk about this, I really had to do some self-reflection because I was like, substances have never really been my thing. But I have other addictions. I've been, like I said, addicted to control, addicted to stress. So when there wasn't stress in my life, I would create stress.
Drama.
Just to stay on par with that. Mm-hmm. I definitely think I've had shopping addictions. I've had food addictions as well. Addicted to sugar right here.
Same. Yeah. And oh my gosh, I think shopping, because we all use these substances to cope with something, right? Even if it's like meeting somebody new, I'm going to use this substance to cope with my anxiety to be social. And I am like, oh my gosh, I'm having a bad day and I deserve to feel good. So I deserve to go spend $500 at TJ Maxx right now to feel better.
That's a problem.
And it's a problem. And that relationship is only within myself.
And there's no one to blame but me.
Yeah, right. And that's something that you can share with your friendships too.
Yes.
We deserve shopping. Okay, well, can you limit yourself? I'm only spending $100 today, which everyone has their own different budgets, but the today's day and age, $100 isn't that much if you're doing a shopping girls day. And like, you know, so limit yourself. One outfit. That's it.
Definitely. And something will happen. And then I like snowball with it. Like our dress code changed at work. So I was like, oh, well, I have to go shopping and just buy everything that I see that I like because I have to have this for work. But also I'm actually coping with the fact that I no longer have a choice of what I get to wear to work.
Mm-hmm. That's yes. Right. So you use it as an excuse to just.
Right.
Or the seasons change. And now I'm doing this. I find myself doing this, like, especially like my son, you know, boys, they're in and out. They don't want to be shopping with you for hours. And usually they don't. So he's easy. But my daughter, it's like, oh, honey, it's springtime. We got to go get you some spring and summer clothes. Now I'm like, trying to be really mindful of imposing that mindset on my daughter as well.
Yeah. Because and I definitely learned mine from my mom.
Yeah.
It was whenever she was down, it was, okay, let's go shopping and we're going to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Or yeah, we've had a bad day. And it was also, this is a hard one too. What I was about to say was using it for a reward, which that's not necessarily a bad thing to use shopping as a reward. I guess you could probably take that as a yes or a no.
I think it's where you disregard the lack of consequences. So is this going to put you into credit card debt that you're not, it's going to be really hard to come out of? Is this going to make you not be able to pay your bills? You know, what are the consequences of those actions?
Yeah. At what level are you a hoarder? I have two and a half closets full of clothes, two, you know, drawer sets, armoires, you know. And I love them all. And I purge them all the time, yeah, too. So, and that's another thing. Like, oh, okay, I deserve to go shopping because I purged 5 bags today. I'm going to reward
myself. I do that, too.
Yeah.
So, I've got all these garbage bags full of clothes I'm going to take and donate. And I got to fill those hangers back up.
That's right. So I think it's just being mindful of who you are.
Why we're doing the things we're doing.
Yeah. Why we're doing the things that we're doing. The instant gratification of it. How you feel in relationships. And I'd like to add, which I'm sure I'll say this in another episode, and maybe I've said it before, but if you need to ease your anxiety with a substance in someone else's energy, reflect on that. Why don't you feel safe in their energy sober? Is it because you just can't manage your anxiety? Or is it because there's actually something your intuition is telling you about this person?
And I think a lot of times you just touched on something. Our intuition is trying to tell us something, and then we use those substances to dull down our intuition because we don't want to hear that message right now.
No, we don't. We want instant gratification. So it's okay to be, I think nowadays I'm okay with choosing solitude with a little sprinkle of loneliness these days versus getting myself back into those situations where you just know they're going to evolve into something that's just not good for anybody. I think we touched on quite a bit. Is there anything else you'd like to add for these subjects today? Thank you for doing this subject with me. It's something that I've dealt with quite a few times, so I do appreciate it. I know a lot of people deal with this quite a bit, building relationships on substance abuse. So it's just something I wanted people to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to touch a lot of people. And I think the biggest thing you can do in these situations is just kind of step back and kind of self-reflect. And it's so hard to be self-aware, but just think of, like, are we covering up something bigger? Is there an issue here? Is there something we need to address without these addictions in the way?
Yes. Well, I think that covers everything for today.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
Hope you have a great week and you'll join us next week for our next topic. Thank you for supporting our show. Please follow and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You can also catch our full video episodes on YouTube.
Yes. Namaste.
Namaste.